Thank our praise team for leading us in song this morning as we are preparing to look at the Word of God today. We're in Psalm 37. How does heaven affect how I live today? We've been kind of focusing on heaven quite a bit here lately, and really just for the whole purpose of it is, I don't know about you, but we need the encouragement today, don't we? We need that reminder that what we are faced with today and what we are looking at today is not all that there is for God's people, amen? And what a blessed hope that we have that we look forward to His coming. And we covered that last week. Well, this week as we have been watching the events unfold around us, I don't know about you, but it just saddens my heart over and over and over again. Just when you think things cannot get any more complicated, just when you think things are not going to get any more discouraging, it seems like every time you turn on the TV or get on media, it's just headline after headline after headline, isn't it? And sometimes I have to admit that I struggle with the verse 1 of this psalm. It says, fret not. Now, you know, I always thought frets were what you controlled on your guitar. But fret is actually an emotion, isn't it? It's an attitude, if you will. Fretting is allowing the wearing down of things going on around us. In fact, it wears us down so bad that we begin to either give up, compromise, or just quit. Now, I don't want you to think the last one was my thought. I'm not looking to quit. Let's not panic, okay? But yet it wears you down, doesn't it? And sometimes you just think, what's the use? Have you ever been kind of that frustrated at times? What's the use? And at times we need the Spirit to remind us the purpose, the overview, because sometimes we can get caught up in the moment of stress and forget the whole picture. Are you with me? Even in some of the most difficult and painful things that we ever have to go through, have you ever looked back and say, that was probably the best thing for me? Now, at the moment, we wouldn't dare say that because we want it over. We want it to stop. But yet, when we look back and see how God had grown us, how that we had matured through, how that we were able to grow in our faith through that difficult time, we look back and say, I never thought that I could have grown so much so quickly. But yet, because God gives us the overview, gives us an understanding of what all of this purpose is, then we can take it all into perspective. And that's what Psalm 37 is for us today. Let's get things in perspective. I'm going to start by reading verses 1 through 11 very quickly. And that's going to give us, that's where we're going to spend 95-98% of our time this morning, okay? Psalm 37, beginning with verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we bow our heads before you and humbly come before your throne of mercy. Lord, we are in need of your mercy and your love today. Lord, forgive me of my sin as we dig into your word. May your Spirit speak freely to us today, guiding our hearts, most of all, giving us the courage to apply your word. May we find these steps that would lead us to a garden of peace, to be in your will and to be growing in faithfulness to you, but yet experiencing the blessings that you promised to us. Lord, thank you for bringing so many things about that is building and growing in our lives and our relationship with you. Thank you for being a real and true and faithful God that we rely upon, we can depend upon, and find strength and security and rest in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 37 was written by King David later in his life. He was an elder at this point, and he had experienced many things in life. And so this is one thing that young people, I want us to understand, and young couples, that we are able to gain from our elders is perspective. They're able to look over, if you will, an entire lifetime, stages of life, and able to draw together perspective. And it's so valuable. Especially those, in fact, the scripture tells us, give double honor to those who have worked and labored in the Lord, because they are able to give experiences of faith and growth in the Lord Jesus that might be a greater value that we can't see today. So that perspective is valuable. So, well, King David in his later years is able to bring much to the discussion, if you will. As a young man, he was a shepherd. He goes on to be a warrior. Then he becomes a hunted man by Saul. He was also a musician. Now, isn't this a broad span of skills and trades that David had? And it was for a purpose, because each one of those things was used of God. And then later he became king. I think if I remember right, it was 7 years in Hebron. And then he finished that out the rest of the 40 years in Jerusalem. And we see that as king, he had many successes and he had some failures. But yet he continued to run to the Lord and find the strength and security that he needed and the forgiveness and the wisdom that he sought from the Lord. So much in that he's able to give us some steps to take. And in this, there's important Hebrew words and phrases that the Hebrew people would latch onto and making those the key points. In fact, they become stepping stones that lead in a progression of thought is going to lead us to that peaceful garden in God's presence. And so I've got 7 points for you today. And I figure by about 2 o'clock this afternoon, we should be done. Now, you know I like to tease you about that because I can't keep it under 40 minutes, it seems like. But we're going to roll through these, okay? We're going to roll through these. And I want to hit each step as we will. We're going to look at it like a stepping stone. It's going to lead us to a peaceful garden, because I don't know about you, but I need that restful place. How about you? First of all, he tells us, and he lays out this psalm. One other thing I want to point out is that he gives us a contrast. He gives us the contrast of the evildoers, the transgressors, compared to the righteous, the believer, the one who's following the Lord. There's a stark contrast of what those actions and reactions will be. So the first one is verse 1, do not fret. Do not fret. Do not worry. And this is worry that wears away by friction, agitates, angers, vex the soul. Wow, there's a lot in there, isn't there? We must, and you notice that he mentions this 3 times in the verses that we read. 3 times, do not fret. Oh yeah, by the way, don't fret. Oh yeah, and since we're talking about this, don't fret. Do you think he's trying to tell us something? I think he was talking to me. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't apply to you as much, but he was talking to me because that is usually our go-to in our humanness, is that if I can't control it, any of you control freaks? I'm the only one on camera, so you can raise your hand. Nobody will know it. Some of you want that control, and when you're not in control, you get panicky because I don't know where this is going. I don't know how this is going to turn out. Yeah, I'm kind of that way. I want to know where it's going to end, what time we're going to get. I want all that, right? And then when it doesn't happen, it's like, oh my, what's going on? This wasn't in the plan. I didn't have this in my outline. What are we going to do now? And sometimes we want to fret. and much of the things that are going on today leaves us in a place that we begin to question and struggle. In fact, even watching evildoers being able to do and accomplish what they are, sometimes we want to step back and say, well, what is the point? Why do we just continue to deal with this? Why don't we just do our own thing? We've seen a lot of that, haven't we? We've seen a lot of just throwing right and wrong to the wind and just going along with the crowd. Not a valuable thing, is it? Not always a wise thing. When we see that we are in positions of difficulty, it's easy to fret. But not just a momentary worry, but yet we latch on to that worry and allow it to begin to wear away. So we begin to nurture that worry. We begin to rehearse that worry. We give it a place in our lives and in our thought life that it remains. God says, get it out of there. Amen? Get it out of there. As that leads us to our second step. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and what? Do good. Trusting in the Lord is not just a passive decision we make. It's not just a passive will that, okay, I'm just trusting for the Lord to do something anytime. But yet that trusting in the Lord actually evokes that action. Let me share with you. These two go well together. By trusting in the Lord, that's an acting of faith, isn't it? What is trusting? It's placing our confidence in. We put our boldness in. We find our security in. And so when we're trusting in the Lord, this is something I want us to know. I want you to understand is that so often people will lay claim that I know who God is. I know who Jesus is. That Jesus came, He died, and yeah, I know all that stuff. But yet not trust in the Lord Jesus. Are you with me? We can give a lot of lip service, but not until we act upon, which is an act of faith. You know, so often we share with people that are so content with an act or an attitude of religion, but yet never fulfill this stepping stone, trust. This trust changes who we are. This trust changes what we do and how we do it. Too often we hear people lay claim to knowing the Lord Jesus or knowing God, and then they go out and do and commit actions that are completely contrary and disobedient to God. What do we do with that? Folks, the dividing line that we see is verse 3, trust in the Lord. That means we're confident in His will and His plan. We're not completely knowledgeable of all that He's able to do because God will always go above and beyond all that we ever think or say or do. We cannot comprehend all that He is because He is God. But yet that trusting is an act of faith is that we're confident in the plan and the message and His purpose. And therefore I rest in His purpose, not mine. That's the trusting. In fact, that faith begins to grow, begins to nurture, and draws us closer in the understanding of His power, His ability, His promises, His word, and His eternal plan for our lives. And therefore, it comes out as a proving of that faith in good works. Now, often the world has that completely opposite. We think that those good works produce a faith. It's just the opposite. That faith and trusting in the Lord Jesus produces good works after we've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus and now have been reborn to a new birth. Trusting is not a passive ideology. It's not a passing thought, but yet an all-consuming, faithful reality. Look at the results of those who trust in the Lord and do good. Last part of verse 3 says, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Friends, you can have a big old sandwich of faithfulness every day. Doesn't that strike you? Feed on His faithfulness. What does that look like? Is it a soup? You pile the crackers in? Is it a sandwich? No. We're not talking about the physical. We're talking about the spiritual feeding. Amen? There's realities that it comes to our hearts and strengthening that we need. In those dark times of not knowing the answer and not having the direction that we need, that God slides in and comes and gives us a comfort that we can't get from anyone else or anywhere else. Gives us the stability of making decisions when it's a confusing time, but yet He has all the clarity that we need in the direction to lead us to a place of plenty. Do you remember as God was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, and that we began to talk about the manna, and it's still just the name manna means mystery? What is it? Isn't that intriguing? We still don't know what it is physically, but we know what it did for God's people. Amen? Sustained them for 40 years. Sustained them. And where do they find it? They go looking. They go searching. And God had it right there for them to gather. Folks, when we feed on God's faithfulness, He provides in places that no one else can comprehend. But God allows His people to find and feast upon. Trust in the Lord and do good. So we're not fretting, right? We're putting that out of our hearts and minds. We move on to trusting the Lord. We move on to actively proving that faith in the good works. And then, number three, we delight ourselves in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 4. What does delight mean? Means to be happy about, right? In fact, Strong says to take exquisite delight in. Now, here's what's intriguing. Now, when we look at delight, it actually has a feminine connotation to it. Guys, you remember as you were courting your wife and as you're getting to know that they would give you that look and that come hither look. They would give you that romantic move of only you two knew and no one else knows would see. That was between you. What? She become delicate to you. Now what does that mean? She's drawing you in, right? Now some of you are thinking, yeah, draw me in for the kill. No, we're not going there, okay? That's not what this is saying, but that it is, and actually the word delight means being pliable, being molded to. And so when we're talking this, guys, I'm not asking you to be a bunch of girls. That's not what I'm trying to say or anything negative. But what we're trying to say is that we make ourselves open and pliable to the Lord. So much that when we delight, that we find joy in Him. So we move from an act of faith that we're trusting in Him, and it continues to grow, then we begin to prove that faith by God working good works in and through us, as Paul tells us, not me that live, but Christ living in me. You with me? So then our next step, we begin to delight ourselves in Him. We begin to find a joy. We begin to find a desire to be with Him, to be around Him. His presence to be within us. It actually comes to a point that our day is not fulfilled until we've spent time with the Lord. Amen? Are you with me? Do you notice how all of these just keep drawing us closer and closer and closer? As we delight ourselves in Him, we begin to delight in the promises that He gives us, and we get excited about Him being here. Amen? Folks, we come to have fellowship, and we were craving that when we weren't able to be together. But in all reality, if I'm gone, you can still have wonderful services. But yet, if Jesus is gone, nobody's having services. Amen? There's nothing else to delight in. The first and most important thing is that we delight in Christ, not the formalities. Not just one thing, not just the music, not just a prayer, but yet the very presence of God is with us. You remember the two men that were walking on the road to Emmaus? Right after Jesus had died, he was buried, and now he is resurrected, and he meets them on the road, and he begins to reveal all the messianic prophecies of himself all throughout the Old Testament. And it says that as they begin to realize that there's something special about it, Jesus revealed who he was to them, and they were so excited. They even described it as that, did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us? They delighted in who he was. They delighted in all that he was, not just the fact that he was there, but that what he's accomplished. Folks, there's a lot of things that are fighting for our attention and our delight. There's a lot of things that are battling for our hearts. Folks, we have to guard our hearts so that God has every love, passion, and desire that we can muster and bring about. He deserves it. Amen? So we're not going to fret, right? We've trusted in him. We're going to follow him and doing good. Then we've delighted ourselves in him. Number four, we commit our ways. Now, you know, for a long time when I was younger, I always thought, well, commit your ways. So I give him my travel plan, right? Actually, it's a complete different meaning. Commit your ways means to roll your burdens upon the Lord, to entrust your life to him and his power and his ability. So we are transferring the burdens of life, the disappointments, the letdowns, the sadness, the frustrations, if you will. So think of this for a moment. We're getting closer to this garden. We're getting closer to this garden of peace with God. And as we get there, we're still battling. Oh, Lord, I delight in you, but man, there's a lot of problems going on here. Lord, I want to be with you, but it's getting harder and harder to fight to be here with you. The things that I have to battle off, the things that I have to push off, is getting harder to push away so that we can have that time. So he gives us an answer, doesn't he? Commit those burdens. Commit those difficulties. Commit all of those things that you cannot control. You just simply roll them over onto me. Again, it's an act of faith, isn't it? You know, often we find ourselves at a point of desperation. And the pastor comes in and says, you need to just lay your burdens on the Lord. And folks, sometimes the looks that I get, well, it's like, well, you're just some young whippersnapper. Believe it or not, I've been called that one time. Whippersnapper. Exactly what it is, I'm not sure, but they're always young. Whenever you find a whippersnapper, they're always young. And I was that one time, labeled it at one time, because I give a biblical direction and answer, and they exceeded me far in years. And they thought it was a ridiculous answer. And I kind of struggled with that for a while, because I wanted to respect the age and the wisdom that they had. And I wanted to take that in perspective and say, Lord, I offended them. This is your word. I should have encouraged them. What happened? It took me some time to understand it, and even experiences of my own and maturing. And as I did, I realized that this is what this is. This is a progression of steps. Are you with me? When we commit all these burdens and heartaches to the Lord, when we roll it to him, we've already been doing that. Are you with me? We've already been trusting in him. We've already been acting in good works based upon his leading, his guiding. We've chose to delight in him because, as guys, I tell you, as we respond to our wives or to our spouses, we respond because we've got that connection. And if you, as you watch in your marriage, as you grow or grow apart, that you realize that those connections can either be strengthened or be lost. Amen? And so the same way in our relationship with the Lord Jesus, as he's guiding, he's directing, the Spirit calls, we respond. Why? Because I delight in being with him. I can't wait to be with him. And he takes precedence over all these other things. And so when it comes time to commit, it actually feels as if this is second nature because I've already been doing that. Are you with me? Too often we find that they haven't been covering the previous stepping stones, and they want to jump immediately and step four and commit. And they haven't trusted. They haven't delighted. They haven't allowed God to guide in those decisions all along. And to capture their heart in a genuine love and teaching us how to love Him. The second part of verse 5, he says, "And He shall bring it to pass." I read in one of my commentaries, and it so aptly put this together for me. It means that as we roll the burdens of our life, we roll the keeping of our lives and the keeping of our safe being, we roll that to the Lord and say, "Lord, it's yours. You, as you guide, I'll go. As you say, I'll follow." But then he gives a promise that he will bring it to pass. You know, when you're on a job and everything's riding on how you finish the product, how everything is the final finish on is going to determine if it's acceptable or not. And you've put hours and hours of work and labor into this already. One would be a little nervous if you had a trainee or journeyman that's going to go and work on this. You're going to be thinking, if he makes one mistake, we've messed up the entire project. We've lost hundreds of hours of manpower and pay. We need someone that knows what they're doing to put the final touches on a perfect project. Can you relate? Such is our life. We're not going to trust ourselves and our future and our children's future to just anyone. But yet, when we commit to the Lord and we roll our burdens and our lives to Him, we're placing our lives and our well-being into the hands of the master craftsman. And we will see Him do only the best and bring out the best. Amen? Bring about good for His people. Fifth, as you rest in the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. When we have found that place to offload those burdens. You know, I have heard many share, and that was a personal experience for me, knowing my guilt before the Lord, knowing my need for salvation at the age of 9, it was weighing on me heavy. I was trying every way that I could, and the conviction of sin was so heavy on me, I couldn't sleep, I struggled with it, I couldn't hardly sit through a message and not feel convicted and wanting to do something about it, but not knowing how to exercise that faith. But I can remember the night at home as I prayed to the Lord. I told him, I can't sleep until we settle this. This is driving me crazy. And by submitting to the Lord that night, I can physically remember Him taking that sin burden off me. And it was the weirdest experience of that. That's what it feels like to be forgiven. And you know what? I slept really good that night. It was after 11:30 because I called my uncle, Melvin Mead, which was my pastor at the time. And he came over to examine if I really knew the Lord or not because he had been praying with me for years. And so late that night, we got to bed and we all rested very well. Why is that? Because that's the response of finding a peaceful place in God's will and God's purpose. Is once we've committed it all to Him, the natural response is to rest in Him now. Is to find that peace and solitude in Him because He has it all under control. Number 6, we cease from anger. In verse 8, He tells us to cease from anger and to forsake wrath. Folks, I'm not sharing anything that we don't know about that today. Amen. But can I encourage you to realize is that sometimes that anger and wrath can come out at home in such the most subtlest of ways, the most underhanded of ways. And sometimes we just brush it over or paint over it that I'm just tired, cranky, whatever the be, but we will continue to act upon that anger when we should stop. Amen? Sometimes our spouses are the best thermometer of gauging if we're angry or cranky or not. It never is received well, is it? Nobody likes to be told that, but sometimes we need to slow ourselves and listen. James 1:19 and verse 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce what? Righteousness of God. I cringe, I grip my teeth when I watch in the background on the screen buildings burning, people beating people, and someone coming to the microphone and saying, well, we've got God on our side. No. When we act in anger, no matter our justification, if we act in wrath, no matter our purpose, that's not God's plan and purpose. Amen? And I'm going to stand on that. Wrath does not. You know, there's many places that we see David defending and being the great warrior that he was, and he didn't do it out of anger and wrath, did he? He did it out of God's guiding and leading. There's so many things that God's wisdom can give us and direct us in to avoid anger and wrath. Anger destroys, while mercy builds up. You ever punish your children out of anger? They'll carry that for a lifetime. You think you're doing good, but that anger will mar and scar when mercy will instruct, will discipline, but yet bring growth as a result. Amen? Wait upon the Lord. Verse 9, he says, those for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. This wait is different than the verse 7. Waiting patiently, you know, resting in the Lord and waiting patiently. We're waiting for His working, His leadership, His guiding. We're quietening ourselves. But yet, in verse 9, the waiting on the Lord is that we're looking for His coming. We're looking for a hope of His coming and the hope that we have of His arrival. We're anticipating with expectancy of His return. My final verses. Verses 37 through 40. The end of the chapter. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Because what? They trust in Him. Not past tense, but ongoing. Amen? They are trusting in Him. They continue to rely upon Him. I'm going to conclude our question of our title. How does heaven affect how I live today? Number one, it gives me courage. It gives me hope. It gives me a reason to do what is right instead of doing wrong. It gives me reason to be bold, confident in the Lord, and it helps me find rest. It gives me a future and a glorious heritage to inherit eternally and then to pass on to my children and grandchildren and future generations. All this comes only by faith in the Lord Jesus. All of this comes only because of His graces and His mercy. He's done it all, amen? All we have to do is follow His steps that lead to this garden of peace, an eternal place of rest, as we progressively follow these steps to find peace in Him.